This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Final hour of Ben and Woods leading into our hour-long commercial-free Padres roundtable starting at 10 o'clock, and we will have a full house. Ben and Woods, Annie and Elston, Gwen and Chris, all in today for our commercial-free Padres roundtable from 10 to 11 o'clock. Looking forward to that. Thanks again to Eno Saris from The Athletic. Just joined us for our weekly Smart Baseball segment. But very excited about our next guest, who I got to cover Padres pre- and post-game show when I was doing it with Craig back in the early 2000s. Wasn't the greatest of teams necessarily, but there were some special moments. The Klusko-Nevin combination in the middle of the lineup was fun to watch. And I remember in particular, I think it was May of 2001, Ryan Klusko had like the hottest month I think I've ever seen, like personally watched a ball player have. And Ryan Klusko joins us right now here on 97.3 The Fan. He's now part of the Perfect Game team, which you see the All-Star Game coming to Petco Park many, many times. Ryan, it's great to have you back on here in San Diego. How have you been, man? You're on with Ben and Woods.
Doing good. Hey, guys. How are you?
Doing well, man. Doing well. I know Ben said, when we went to break, I said, so you used to cover him a lot back in the day. I said, how was your rapport? Do you remember?
Pretty good, yeah.
Young, fresh-faced Ben Higgins.
Yeah, old guy now, but.
Oh yeah, I mean, I had a good time. I'm playing. It feels like I get along with everybody. I don't have very many people in the game that I had negative,
easy to
experiences
cover.
With.
Yeah.
Easy to cover. Media was great. For the most part, obviously you have your tough days when you're not doing so good, and sometimes you got these guys all around you don't want to talk, but that's just part of the game. You learn to deal with it. And going back home, obviously getting traded was disappointing. I remember the phone calls, like, I just built my gym. I'm living on a farm. And the next thing you know, I get called, like, the day before Christmas, like, you've been traded. And he goes, I got bad news. And it comes from the general manager, John Scherholz. And, I got bad news, good news and bad news. I'm like, oh, God. And he's never called me, so I knew something was going on. So he goes, bad news is you got traded. And then I'm like, well, what's the good news? He goes, well, you're going back home. You're going to Southern California. And I knew it was either the Dodgers or the Padres or, the Angels or whatever. So, and it was San Diego. So I was excited about that. And I always dreamed of coming back and playing in Southern California. So that was great.
I assume you remember that May 2001, Ryan had 40 RBI in
month.
1 month, 11 homers, 40 RBI. I mean, imagine. Did you ever feel as locked in as you did that month of your career?
Probably not. There's things where you go for, you hot for like a week or two or 2 weeks or 3 weeks, but no, nothing like that. I was, I spent a lot of time revamping my swing. I was always a good player, but I thought I got overlooked a couple times in an All-Star game. I started looking at my numbers, started comparing my swings, and I always want to get better, but I wanted to lower my strikeouts, and I wanted to make the All-Star team, and I wanted to be better. So I spent two off seasons with Jimmy LaFever, which worked with, Sammy Sosa, Richie Sexton, Rick Wilkins, which he's taking guys that were hitting, 220, 230, 240 and turned them into all-stars. So we were flying to Arizona and working with him. He was a former Cubs manager, but he's the hitting guru, right? He's the man. So I really spent a lot of time with him the year before I got traded to San Diego and then that whole offseason. And I felt when I went into spring training, I think my first or second spring training going into San Diego, I think you might want to look at the numbers. It could be off a little bit, but I think my spring training numbers were like 540 with like between 9 and 11 home runs, and I was absolutely locked in. And that's when I knew, I'm like, this transformation and this time I spent to revamp my swing is really going to work, and I'm actually going to be way better hitter than I was before. And I made the All-Star team, I think, that maybe that year, had good numbers the year before. I just felt good at the plate. I cut my strikeouts down in half. My on base percentage went up, and I obviously love playing with, you know, I don't know if you guys know this, but most of our team were Southern California guys that I knew or played against in the area code games. I mean, Trevor was a little bit older. You got Mark Kotze. You got Lolo. Mark Loretta. I mean, dude, we had a Southern California team playing in Southern California, which may not never happen again with that many guys. Giles came in and
Khalil looked like he was from Southern California, he was actually from Georgia
The vibes must have been
South Carolina
or something. Yeah, he looked like, dude, tell me he didn't look like a jacked up Spicoli.
He does.
Totally.
He did.
Boy, where's my car?
He could pick it, man. Oh, my Lord. Talking to Ryan Kleska.
Do you ever see or hear from him? I mean, the guy, obviously, you know, he had some of the social anxiety issues that was tough to deal with the media and everything, but everyone loves him in San Diego. He just kind of disappeared after his career.
Yeah, so he never was a people guy. You had to force the word out of him, but he loves. So, yes, he's writing music. His wife, they were at my wedding. They came to the island. We got married in the Bahamas. He came to the island, and I talked to him once in a while, but he's always loves writing music. He's a music guy, but he literally was we were at the island for like a week, and I seen him like literally one time outside. He was indoors, writing songs.
I love it.
Like, he loved the game of baseball, but he didn't love all the other stuff with dealing with media and dealing with people that much. That's the way he was, real soft-spoken, real quiet guy, but a great dude and probably, honestly, one of the best shortstops I've ever seen play.
That's so cool. That's more info, I think, than anybody's had about Khalil Greene in years, man. That's really fascinating. Thank you for sharing that. Joined by Ryan Klesko here on Ben and Woods this morning. And so now you're working for Perfect Game, and now you're going to be helping them out. And so what is your role, and what are you seeing, like, in youth baseball? I got a 6-year-old, 3-year-old, both pretty on fire for the game. And I'm kind of getting, you know, going to get through machine pitch, then coach pitch, right, and then kid pitch and all that. And then we're going to be off and running, and just kind of wanted to get your thoughts on it and the benefits and what you're seeing.
So I'm a special assistant to the ownership group. I don't work for them. I advise on some of the stuff. And how that happened is my son Hunter, he's a freshman in high school now. He's 15. He's been playing for Perfect Game tournaments for a long time. You know, the ownership group came in and purchased Perfect Game a few years ago from the Ford family and Rick Thurman, Rob Ponger. But Rick was he's a former sports agent for Trevor Hoffman and Barry Bonds and those guys. So he had retired from the sports agency business, bought Perfect Game, and they've done a tremendous job. So we met, and they asked, and they came up to me, and they go, hey, you've been in this. They call me boots on the ground because I'm in all the tournaments, right? And so I have a lot of reliable information that goes back to them because they're the owners, but they don't have kids playing, not right now, and they're, you know, a lot of the tournaments. So I basically just give them advice on what I see on the fields, what the kids are doing, and they ask me, hey, what do you see going on, Ben, and we purchase them, what can we do to be better? And so I said, well, you know, we want to, you know, I would love to see more interaction with getting the players better, instruction, camps, offer maybe, you know, and they were starting to do some scholarship stuff for the kids. And because, listen, there's a lot of kids, it's very expensive to play any sport, lacrosse, basketball, the tournament fees, everything, you know, it gets expensive, but that was designed to, you know, you got fields, you got umpires, you got all this stuff. So they've interacted and done a really good job with interacting the community and doing some scholarship stuff, helping kids that can't afford to play. So since then, I've started the Atlanta Braves scout teams, and we have teams 14, 15, 16, 17, 18, and we're fully funded. We raised the money through a charity to help the kids that can't afford to play.
It's awesome.
And get scouted. So we're playing in front of a bunch of colleges this year. So I'm spending, you know, 30 hours a week just on the kids. I don't make a dime off of it. I've never charged a kid a dime for a lesson. I work with all kids. Not with my team. But again, stuff that goes on, I just report back to the guys, and they're listening. They're making Perfect Game and the way the kids can, you know, get seen, whether it be college or pro. You know, I'd say up in their 90, 95% percentile. You know, most of the guys that are getting drafted are coming through and playing perfect game tournaments because it's a way of getting exposed to all the scouts and all the colleges. And so that's part of a deal. And so we're working together on just making perfect game a better experience and to get as many kids as we can seen by colleges and pros. We all know that not all the kids playing in there are going to be pros or even go to college. But if I can help one kid that maybe hasn't been seen, because we're in South Georgia now. I picked up a kid last year. I'll give you an example. He's never really played above Little League. He was a good kid, but never really had instruction. He never really had mechanics, right? So we took him. We worked with his mechanics to help him be obviously safer and become a better athlete. And after year one, he's already had several colleges call him back. You can't directly deal with them. They have to go through the school. But he's throwing 92 miles an hour as a 15-year-old. He's going to have several colleges after him. And I don't think if we would have been there to help, he probably would have never been seen. So that's kind of what Perfect Game's about, is getting some of these kids better and getting them exposed to maybe have them getting looked at. And that's originally how it was started with the Ford family.
Talking to former Padre Ryan Klesko, and that's exciting. Your son, you said 15-year-old Hunter, kind of following in dad's footsteps. You have a lot of former teammates and guys you played against whose kids are now emerging into the major leagues. Tyler Nevin's in the big leagues, and Wyatt Hoffman's in the Padres minor leagues. You played against Matt Holliday. Of course, his son just debuted in the big leagues yesterday. Have you gotten any advice? Is there any, like, parenting advice for the, parents of a potential future minor leaguer, big leaguer that you think is valuable?
100%. I think the main thing is, I can give you an example. I'm not a very good golfer. I can go to the driving range every day and hit the ball. I'm not going to get any better until someone fixes my swing, fixes my mechanics. And that's the same thing with baseball. I went to pitching and hitting lessons behind Angel Stadium since I've been 8 years old, because if you're going to work at it, you've got to have the right mechanics. And that's what the scouts and the college is looking for. So if a kid's got a bad throwing motion, or he's going to, he can hurt his arm, and if he's stepping in the bucket, or he's overstriding, or his hands are too low or too high, and when the pitch is coming, those are all the things that I'm looking to fix to give that kid the potential to maybe play in college somewhere. So my main thing is an instruction, is to get the kid to get the highest potential I can with fixing the mechanics of the swing or off the mound. And that's the main thing, is getting the right instruction. So get with the right coach. If you feel that as a parent, and this is what you get a lot of, you get a lot of kids jumping around on teams and they want to play for the best team and the highest ranked team in the country or blah, blah, blah. Don't worry about all that. Find a coach, a team that works with your kid that really fits and that a kid enjoys playing on that team. And you feel like the coach is getting your son better. And at the end of the season, I'll raise your hand if you felt like you've gotten better this year and not got worse. And if they raise their hands, that makes me feel like I did my job as a coach.
Ryan, it is great to catch up with you, man. I'm glad you had a few minutes to spend with us. I know our audience seems to really be enjoying hearing from you. Hopefully, we'll get a chance to do this again. But best luck to you, your son, and your relationship with Perfect Game going forward as well. Thanks, man.
Thank you, guys.
Thank you, buddy.
How about that? Ryan Klesko. I've not talked to Ryan in a long time. Good to hear from him. Always easy. Easy conversation, though, with Ryan Klesko.
Oh, yeah.
Fantastic.
I wish we had him longer. I wanted to talk hitting with him. Maybe we can get him back on at some point. I want to talk hitting, what he's seeing, these days. And you heard him. I mean, he changed his swing in the middle of his career to try to do more damage. I think that's really cool when guys do that.
And the update on Khalil Greene, just knowing that he's okay
awesome.
Somewhere out there.
Yeah, just writing music. It's fantastic.
For the last few years. I know he's never going to call and update anybody on what he's doing, but glad to know that he's doing all right, at least the last time Ryan Klesko saw him.
Borderline breaking news.
So many people in this audience
love Khalil Greene. I saw people in chat like, that was my first Padres jersey, and nobody's really heard from him. That's the most I've ever heard from Khalil Greene
in years.
God knows how long. That was fantastic.
All right. We have still our Throwback Thursday. Paulie's got a couple of clips from the archives to pull out from this week and show history. And he's got some headlines from the Rondle Report as well. So we get to all of those coming up. Final two segments of Ben and Woods on the way. We'll be right back after a check of traffic with Kelly here on 97.3 The Fam.
when you think about businesses that are selling through the roof like Aloe, Allbirds, or Skims, sure, you think about a great product, a cool brand, and brilliant marketing. But an often overlooked secret is actually the businesses behind the business, making selling and for shoppers buying simple. For millions of businesses, that business is Shopify. Nobody does selling better than Shopify, home of the number one checkout on the planet and the not-so-secret secret, with Shop Pay that boosts conversions up to 50%, meaning way less carts going abandoned and way more sales going. So if you're into growing your business, your commerce platform better be ready to sell whenever your customers are scrolling or strolling on the web, in your store, in their feed, and everywhere in between. Upgrade your business and get the same checkout experience as business powerhouses like Aloe, Allbirds, and Skims. Sign up for your $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/odysseypodcast, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/odysseypodcast to upgrade your selling today. shopify.com/odysseypodcast.
With our edition, today's edition of the Rindle Report.
Now tuned into the greatest.
Welcome to the Rindle Report with Paul Rindle.
Hi, Paul.
All right.
Two stories from the world of sports that we haven't gotten to yet.
We'll start off in Major League Baseball.
And one story that you didn't know you needed.
Are you laughing, biatch?
It's the Rindle Report.
Hey, Paul, how you doing?
Okay, how are you?
On 97.3 The Fan.
Are you ready to bless the mood? I need some help, please.
That was good.
Can I get a hoy?
All right.
Jumping right in with the Rindle Report, but we got some breaking news in our chat here, Woods. According to Abraham, he says, good morning, guys. Someone crashed into me on the 805 while listening to Ben and Woods.
What?
He was listening?
I think the person who crashed into him.
No,
I know
he was listening to Ben and Woods.
I know sometimes we hear people say, oh, you nearly made me crash my car. That was so funny. Something, you know, Woods said, that was so funny. I nearly crashed my car. Don't actually do it, though. Keep control of the vehicle while listening to this program at all times.
Well, I hope Abraham's okay. And I need to know who was listening, him or the...
Well, both, hopefully.
So I'm assuming they pulled over the side of the road. The cars are still running.
And both radios are still going.
And Ryan Klesko in there talking about stuff.
That's very, very strange.
Interesting.
Somebody asked Abraham if it was Manny Machado that backed into him for talking all that smack earlier.
Hopefully it wasn't Terrell Suggs who pulled in, hit him in the car.
All right, be safe out there, guys.
Yes, be safe.
Go ahead, Paulie.
All right, gentlemen, a couple stories here. I want to start off in football. Jared Goff making some headlines a podcast appearance that he recently had, and he was talking about the media coverage that is going on in Detroit and centered around his Lions. I'm just going to play the clip, let it speak for itself, and then I want to get your guys' thoughts on it.
I have this, I probably need to drop it pretty soon here because I'm going to hopefully be in Detroit for a long time. But I have this thing with our local media where they almost relish in negativity at times.
Mm-hmm.
And maybe that's what gets clicks and that's what sells. But it's no longer what they need to live in. Hey guys, we have a good team. We've had success. We can be happy about that. We can celebrate that and not have to write about how we're constantly the underdog. Teams are going to be gunning for us now. We won the division and all that. And I'm probably overthinking it in my head just because it's the chip on my shoulder and the competitor in me. But in that moment, I was just giving that guy a hard time. I actually really like him. But
I think that's great. And
I like that, actually.
It's sweet of Jared to think that they're doing it for clicks. Really, most members of the media are just crusty, curmudgeonly SOBs, and that's why they're negative all the time. Has nothing to do with getting clicks or, hey, I want to be spicy here. No, there's just a lot of miserable people in this business, and they have a very negative outlook on things, so that's how they frame, their columns and their discussions about the teams. And you know what? They're in Detroit.
Bro,
it's not like they've had a lot of success all the time that is going to make them a little skeptical even when good things are happening to the Lions.
That was what I was going to say. I really liked what he said, though, about you can stop calling us the under. That I really liked.
That was good.
That is a valid, valid point.
Just because it's been one way for 30 years.
We're on the calm. Let's kind of roll with us. And you can be negative about the team. You can be negative about a pass I throw, whatever.
A lot of similarities to, I think, the Padres.
They're at least on the scene now.
They're on the scene, certainly, but, you know, that. And I don't, there's some, I mean, it's mostly fans, but again, I get it. Like, venting on Twitter is venting. That's, you're basically sitting in your therapist's office going, and then this turd, we need to send him down. And then the next day, the guy hits a double and you're excited. That's just fandom. As far as the media is concerned, I did like that point, though, about, hey, man, like, we are a team on the rise. You can ditch the underdog narrative. Not that that should bother Jared Goff that much. He just said he has a chip on his shoulder. That's more for him to prove.
And while sometimes I think too much is made of our nice weather and everything, in Detroit, they don't even have, like, it's like, oh, our teams all are terrible, and now let's go outside, and oh, God, we're in Detroit now, too.
The D's on the upswing, Benny. It's on the upswing.
I hope so.
It is.
I hope so, for sure. But, yeah, it was interesting stuff there from Jared Goff.
All right, that's it for the sports today. I got two more stories for you, both food-related, and I think you guys will be able to weigh in on both of them. So McDonald's, like, I don't know if this is a prank or a stunt, a PR stunt or something, but they have debuted, McDonald's has debuted the first ever scented billboard.
Scented billboard.
But
is it wasps?
But you're not ever close to the billboard. It's a long way away when you're looking at it. Like, you're driving on the freeway.
It's more like a bench ad, like a bench ad.
Okay,
it's close to a walking area.
Okay.
And it is not a picture of any food in particular. It's actually just a blank. It's red or a yellow sign, completely blank. And it's in the Netherlands right now. And they've had people walk by and go, what do you smell? And they all said, we smell French fries.
Oh, it's genius.
But nothing printed on there.
I don't know if this is just a bit for a commercial, social media, a video. I don't know. But in the Netherlands right now, there are just like blank red billboards that smell like French fries.
Wonder how long the scent kind of lasts.
It's brilliant.
It's like pumping it through all, like, continuously, like recycling.
Oh, it's like a Glade, like you clip on or whatever. It's just kind of got a reservoir of scent, and then they just refill it eventually.
I mean, it looks like Willy Wonka, dude. These people are like going up to it and like smelling the sign.
Well, it's those street billboards, you know, that you're walking down the street and they're plastered along the side. Yeah. It's not the one that you climb the pole.
I'm sure, I don't know if this is a sign of things to come or anything like that. It's probably just for a promotional campaign.
That.
But I thought that was interesting.
I like that a lot.
Do they still make scratch and sniff books for kids?
Yeah,
I haven't seen one of those in a long time.
My kids are big fans of sniffing those. They make markers now that are all, there's like 1,000 different smells. And they, which, you know, they're my kids. Of course they're going to be sniffing markers. I mean, there's no question about it. They do smell good, though. Oh, grape. What's this one? And then Taylor always gets like the under his nose from sniffing it. So he's got red and orange.
A very small leap from markers to glue.
That's exactly right. And then after that,
I will say I did enjoy the scent of rubber cement.
Oh, bro, are you kidding me? It's phenomenal. I also like putting it all over my hands and making a big ball and throwing it at people.
Yeah, rub it up. Get that. Yep, 100%.
For huffing.
I'm not.
On this show.
I'm not.
This morning. Sounds like.
Just incidental.
When in doubt, just huff.
Incidentally, when you happen to open it in the crafts section of your school.
Did you guys have the smelly markers, or was that after?
I think that was after us.
They were like big fat markers that smelled like cherry.
I just talked about this.
Blueberry. You did?
Yeah. My kids had this.
Yeah, but we didn't have them growing up.
That's what I was asking if you had them.
Oh, no,
we didn't have them now. We didn't have them growing up.
Okay.
Bro, we had
smell like
big
markers.
Player at my house.
We had number two pencils and like
Elmer's glue,
and the rubber cement was
they didn't really trust you with the rubber cement as much. Like paste and glue, fine, whatever. Rubber cement had to be supervised by the teacher because that could do some real damage.
Yeah,
that's
good stuff.
And then finally, a local note here. Woods, you were very excited right after the show ended yesterday. You told us that there might be an update. I remember hearing about this story like 5 years ago, I feel.
Longer than that. It was, I
damn near 10 years ago.
It was about, it was, Yeah, about 10 years.
It has been long, long, 2016, so about 8 years ago. Long, long rumored that Roscoe's House of Chicken and Waffles will be expanding to San Diego with a new location, and then it just has never happened. The pandemic obviously slowed some things down, and according to Eater San Diego.
Eater, that's the one that you like. Eater.
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 Right.
So I said eat her. You're adding a slight extra sound in that.
Nope.
Eat her.
Eat her.
So I'm reading from eater.com right now. It says, Eater's been following the story since February 2016 after officially confirming the rumor that they were building a location in San Diego. And then it just didn't happen. They tried to pick up in 2021. They tried again in 2022. And it just hasn't happened. But it's being reported that there is actually movement now. They have secured a spot in the Barrio area.
Barrio Logan, yeah, right.
They are working. And like it could be here as soon as a few months from now. So we're just going to have to wait and see.
I've been once to the Hollywood.
I tweet. I go every time I go to L.A. When I go up for a show, it's always where we
I've
go.
I've never been.
And my Bo and I went. And Taylor to one in Long Beach as well. You didn't like it?
No, it's a good combo.
It's really
good. Waffle, it's fried chicken, and it's dripping butter and syrup. It's hard to really miss on that combination.
It is. And now, I had some edgelords yesterday. It's overrated. Now, one guy sent me a...
Maybe just because...
Well, everything's overrated, right? If anybody likes something...
It doesn't have to be from Roscoe's for waffles and chicken and syrup to taste good together.
But their waffles are bomb.
You like, yeah.
Their waffles are really, really good. I love it. I love it. Somebody said Roscoe's is Dodger 11. Yeah, that might be the case.
The realtor who helped facilitate the purchase of the location said that he can confirm construction on the site is moving forward quickly with the aim of opening within the next few months.
I'd like to offer my services to Roscoe's Chicken and Waffles and happy to be your spokesman.
Tester, little tester. Waffle tester.
Yep. Tester for Eat Her.
Mm. Barely know her.
Yeah, one more segment.
Rindle Report. Well, and then another hour of Roundtable.
I had forgotten.
Well.
Did
you?
Yep.
Did you? You just were blissfully ignorant over there, thinking your day was done in 28 minutes. Oh, no. We'll keep it light in our next segment, though, with a little throwback Thursday. Paulie's got three or four clips for us from our show archive. So we'll use that to get us to the Padres talk coming up at the top of the hour in our commercial-free Roundtable. All ahead. One last time out, and then back with the final segment of Ben and Woods on 97.3 The Fam. Woods is on camera now, and is nude, as far as you can tell, at least.
Crap.
Oh, come on.
I am just...
He tried to put on his shirt without unbuttoning the button and got stuck. Now you look sharp, though, in your 97.3 The Fan brown polo. Did you... You shushed me during the break.
Yeah, because you and Adam and Bill and everyone's in here setting up this effing round table, and I'm trying to do a live read for my beloved Sedano 4, talking about all the great lease deals. You guys are, for F's sake, we're running a business here. I know the round table is of utmost importance, but I got business to do. Manny Sedano deserves my full attention. For the love of God. Roundtable's going to be the death of me. Did you see?
Doesn't matter what's happening from now on. All anyone can talk about is the skin the skin that Woods just showed on the YouTube stream.
We need a new GD studio for this roundtable.
We should have a custom roundtable studio. Apparently. Just for the roundtable.
Brought to you by Roundtable Pizza. I mean, we've got an oven in there.
Oh, that's brilliant.
You guys back there making
from
it.
From the Roundtable Studios, brought to you by Roundtable Pizza. It's our weekly Padres Roundtable.
It's unbelievable.
All right, we've got some Throwback Thursday content for you coming up. First, though, this hour at 97.3 The Fan is brought to you by SafeLight Cracked Windshield. Go to SafeLight.com now to schedule your free mobile service and let SafeLight come to you. That's SafeLight.com. Conditions may apply. Let's check traffic right now on 97.3 The Fan. So Paulie has a multitude of clips that we can go to from this week in show history on a Throwback Thursday, including...
Where do you guys want to start?
Well, let's go as far back as possible, right? Let's go all the way back to the very beginning of
this
Ben and Woods.
Really early.
Because we started, our first show was March 27th. We just celebrated our sixth anniversary. Mm-hmm. So this happened just like 2 weeks or less into Ben and Woods history.
April 13th, 2018, we were giving away...
It was one of our first giveaways ever, I think.
I honestly can't even remember, but it was tickets to something. And, well, we actually talked about him not too long ago. Yodel Boy was back in the news.
He's back.
We talked about him.
He's grown up.
That was a huge story in 2018.
That was so good, man.
And so we made a listener.
I hated that kid.
Yodel.
No, sorry.
Yeah, you went hard on him.
So
we had a caller on the line, and if you wanted tickets to the fair or whatever the hell we were giving away.
Circus Vargas, maybe. It was the old station. So
that might have been it.
Let's be honest.
Honestly, that might have been it.
It probably was Circus Vargas.
And normally, like, you hate this far back in the archives.
I do.
Sometimes.
Makes me skeevy.
But I said, you know, a couple of these clips, you hear it in our show open. I guarantee we've got plenty of new listeners since 2018. Oh, that's the origin of that clip. So here it is. Caller yodeling on the air.
Let's try Paul. You are next up here on Ben and Woods on the Mighty 1090. Paul, you ready for this?
Sure.
All right, let's play it one more time. Hank Williams, Love Sick Blues, as sung by Yodel Kid in Walmart. All right, Paul, you ready to go?
Sure.
Go for it.
All I do is sing the Love Sick Blues. Young lady,
you did it, Paul. Congratulations. You've debased yourself on the radio for tickets to Magic Mountain.
Magic Mountain.
Oh, that was Magic Mountain. Way better than Circus Vargas.
Magic Mountain.
A pretty good prize.
The kid did a good job. Jacob says, I love that song by Hank Williams. Me too. I think that's a great song. The kid, he did crush it. I don't know why he bothered me so much, but he did, man.
Now,
he drove me nuts. Also,
you
was
had
like
an 8 week old.
I did.
Maybe you were just genuinely cranky.
Maybe I just hated kids because that dude didn't sleep at all at that time ever. Like, he didn't sleep a wink. He was like a vampire. And I was just grumpy all the time. Nothing much has changed. But I think my beef was with his parents. Like, Mason, get in the car. We're going down to Walmart. Well, you know, yes, you're going to yodel in here. What? Mama, why am I...
spot on aisle 17 for you.
Why am I yodeling at a Walmart? Just do it. Do it. He's in there dancing and doing his little...
Right.
It was unreal. Oh, man, that was great. And then when the... Paul, do you still listen to the program?
I'd love to hear from
you. I'd love
Paul.
To hear from you. But when Paul did the shee-doo-bee, that was it. That was complete meltdown. I lost it at that point. That was great.
All right.
Are we going chronologically?
Yeah,
here?
Let's move forward in time.
All right. So then this week in 2020, you guys had...
Pandemic.
Pandemic.
Like
was
near the beginning.
About a month in, and you guys have probably been at the Corona Cave for a good 3 weeks now at this point.
It's freezing cold.
And this...
Always.
The title of this clip is simply... Bird flies into window at the Corona Cave.
Do you remember a guy named Dan Cortez? What was that?
You guys okay?
It was
over
a bird
there?
That flew into the window and is
dead.
Now
perfect.
Maybe it's just stunned.
Great.
Well, that's sad.
Well, that just
what?
No, it's getting up. It's getting up. It's just stunned.
Oh,
it's just
man.
A bit of a concussion.
You're
going into concussion protocol.
Oh my God! Just flew into
here.
The...
Just come on. Let's go, Birdie. You can do it. Come on, get up. There you go.
Even look.
On. Okay, wing. The right wing may have. We may have an issue.
Play by play. I'm a dying bird.
No, it's okay. It's just. This needs a second.
Go love on him a little bit.
No. Might carry the coronavirus or
fair
something.
Fair enough.
Just gonna stay inside.
That scared me to death.
Yeah, that was. Bit nervous. It doesn't happen usually in our Intercom Empire studios.
No, it doesn't.
Amazing.
Thump. I mean, that was a loud thump. Do you have the isolated thump?
Whoa.
Of course he does. Wonder where that bird is today.
I just want to know what we were talking about before that happened.
Do you remember a guy named Dan Cortez?
Dan Cortez.
MTV.
MTV.
No.
He was also in Seinfeld. Remember Seinfeld, he was George's cool friend when George finally had a cool buddy and he would take him rock climbing. And Dan Cortez was a legend. He was incredible. I follow him on social media. He's doing great, by the way. Beautiful wife, beautiful family.
Good to hear.
I would love to get him on, actually.
That's what I can do.
He's great.
Never know. All right, that was 2020. We go to 2021. Still got a couple more clips here. An infamous flub from Ben Higgins. We've kind of steered away from the flubs. The flubs of the week have kind of turned into things Ben likes, mm-hmm. maybe things Schilt likes.
I'd like to think that it's because I'm getting a little more rest nowadays, and I flub just a little bit less than I used to.
We have you flubbing pretty much every word in the human language.
Yeah, in the English language.
We don't really need any more, but here's Ben Higgins here in Dallas.
A little police investigation here in Dallas. Cowboys.
Here in Dallas?
Here in Dallas, yeah.
It's the confidence. Here in Dallas.
What?
What is happening?
It's the confidence.
In Dallas.
I don't know where we are.
It was kills me. He said it so matter of fact.
A little police investigation here in Dallas.
Very, like, you could be on.
I thought about that. And, you know, I was doing some news anchoring at the time, filling in at Channel 10.
Yes.
It's just kind of, you drop into news, when you read a police investigation here in Dallas.
It's so
it's
good.
Like, wait, we're not in Dallas.
No.
It's not here.
We're here
in Dallas.
One of my favorites.
There in Dallas.
Is that it?
More accurate than here.
We have one more clip.
Yeah, one more clip.
And this was from last year. I remember this one. So today is actually National Barbershop Quartet Day.
Oh, my God, yes.
This is 1 year ago exactly. And I think in foreplay, you had mentioned that it was Barbershop Quartet Day.
Yeah, we're missing out. Like, there's just no barbershop quartets anymore.
I didn't talk for about 25 minutes because I was absolutely locked in. I got an idea. All right, Ben had recently told us it was his life's mission to sing Blue Moon.
Yep.
So I took that, and I wanted to make a little barbershop quartet. How can we have a barbershop quartet? Like we said earlier, there's only three of us. But what if I had four different Ben Higgins singing Blue Moon?
Ooh.
And I put it all together.
Oh.
And
is there a barbershop quartet setting or something you just slide the audio into? That's amazing.
Now, I think traditionally you want people with different vocal ranges.
I heard four different ones.
You want some variety in your quartet?
I heard loads of variety.
Yeah.
Dang, 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 ding, dong, ding, blue moon, blue moon, blue moon.
Oh, my God.
Blue moon, blue moon, blue moon. Dip, 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 blue moon, blue, blue moon. There's your tenor.
I feel like with every barbershop quartet day, which I guess is April
11th, yep.
We put out the same request. If you are a San Diego barbershop quartet and would like to come and join us in studio, we would love to have you. We'll put you right here for the whole show. You can stand. You can sing all of our breaks.
Happy
to have you.
I think they went away because they were having sex with too many women. I think the barbershop quartets was like, this is getting ridiculous.
Right.
And we need to probably just call it a day.
Wear your little your vests and your bow ties.
The whole
nine. And if you want to come and spend a morning with the Ben and Woods program.
We'd love to have you.
We would love to have you.
I need to start shuffling my seat. And whatnot?
Oh, because of the show that's coming up after ours.
Yeah, our roundtable. What are we going to cover today?
Would you like to know?
I feel like this roundtable has already impacted our 9 o'clock hour enough.
I think it's going to for a while, at least once a week.
I'll tease a couple of the topics that I have in store for us up on the roundtable. We're going to discuss Jackson Merrill and his positioning in the lineup still.
Okay.
He's been moved up one spot by Mike Schilt in recent days, but how long before he needs to be moved up a little bit more in the lineup considering his production? Are you happy with him at the bottom of the lineup? I have a bullpen question that I think is interesting. We're going to discuss which non-Robert Suarez reliever do you trust the most right now to pitch a scoreless inning with a one-run lead? Like, which guy do you go to? Like, we got to get through this inning. Who's the guy in the bullpen that Mike Schilt should trust the most right now based on what you've seen through the first couple of weeks of the season. And for the first time ever, we will take a Padres psychological test with all six of you here in the studio today. And I will give you two different statements about the San Diego Padres, and you will tell me which one sounds more true to you. And we'll reveal your personality based on your answers to my questions coming up in our next hour on our roundtable.
I like where your head's at a lot. I want to ask Tony Gwynn Jr. about throwing at stars and if you knew, like, when people were throwing at your teammates and stuff. That's interesting to me as well. And also why maybe we never do it. And do you think that bugs Fernando Tatis Jr.? It would bother me.
It would bother you if you were Fernando Tatis Jr. or it would bother you if you were Tony Gwynn Jr.?
Fernando Tatis Jr.
That no one, you felt like you didn't get
the support,
backing and support you needed.
Yeah, I think it would.
Would it also be bad? Well, we'll discuss this on the roundtable. We'll discuss this on the roundtable.
Got an hour.
We've got a commercial-free hour coming up. So do not go anywhere. We've got to see the assembled crew will be joining us. We'll do the quick turnaround in the next few minutes. And the next time you see us all, we should have a big, wide range of boxes on our YouTube screen. Can we do six boxes on the YouTube screen, Paulie?
I think
sure
so.
Can. Six full boxes, one for each of us for the next hour to discuss some Padres baseball on an off day. Get you ready for the series with the Dodgers that is coming up tomorrow. Another early season litmus test for your San Diego Padres. It's in the last few years when you go against the Dodgers, it felt like a lot of pressure. Now it feels like an opportunity almost to go up against the Dodgers for the next couple of days. So roundtable is coming up next, but that's it for Ben and Woods today. We've got Mike Schilt tomorrow on a Friar Friday, the manager's report at 9 a.m. Definitely be here for that. We also should have Jake from Cespedes Family Barbecue, correct, Paulie? Tomorrow as well.
One of them.
One of them at least. So, for executive producer, imaging director Paul Reindel, for Stephen Woods, I'm Ben Higgins. Don't go away. We'll be right back with our Padres roundtable. Woods is on camera now and is nude, as far as you can tell, at least.
Crap.
Oh, come on.
I am just...
He tried to put on his shirt without unbuttoning the button and got stuck. Now you look sharp, though, in your 97.3 The Fan brown polo. Did you? You shushed me during the break.
Yeah, because you and Adam and Bill and everyone's in here setting up this effing round table, and I'm trying to do a live read for my beloved Sedano 4, talking about all the great lease deals. You guys are, for F's sake, we're running a business here. I know the round table is of utmost importance, but... I got business to do. Manny Sedano deserves my full attention. For the love of God. Roundtable's going to be the death of me. Did you see?
Doesn't matter what's happening from now on. All anyone can talk about is the skin the skin that Woods just showed on the YouTube stream.
We need a new GD studio for this roundtable.
We should have a custom roundtable studio. Just for the round table.
Brought to you by Round Table Pizza. I mean, we've got an oven in there.
Oh, that's brilliant.
You guys back there making
from
it.
From the Round Table Studios, brought to you by Round Table Pizza. It's our weekly Padres Round Table.
It's unbelievable.
All right, we've got some Throwback Thursday content for you coming up. First, though, this hour on 97.3 The Fan is brought to you by SafeLight Cracked Windshield. Go to SafeLight.com now to schedule your free mobile service and let SafeLight come to you. That's SafeLight.com. Conditions may apply. Let's check traffic right now on 97.3 The Fan. So Paulie has a multitude of clips that we can go to from this week in show history on a Throwback Thursday, including...
Where do you guys want to start?
Well, let's go as far back as possible, right? Let's go all the way back to the very beginning of
this
Ben and Woods.
Really early.
Because we started, our first show was March 27th. We just celebrated our sixth anniversary. Mm-hmm. So this happened just like 2 weeks or less into Ben and Woods history.
April 13th, 2018, we were giving away...
It was one of our first giveaways ever, I think.
I honestly can't even remember, but it was tickets to something. And, well, we actually talked about him not too long ago. Yodel Boy was back in the news.
He's back.
We talked about him.
He's grown up.
That was huge story in 2018.
That was so good, man.
And so we made a listener.
I hated that kid.
Yodel.
I'm sorry.
Yeah, you went hard on him.
So
we had a caller on the line, and if you wanted tickets to the fair or whatever the hell we were giving away.
Circus Vargas, maybe. It was the old station. So
that might have been it.
Let's be honest.
Honestly, that might have been it.
It probably was Circus Vargas.
And normally, like, you hate this far back in the archives.
I do.
Sometimes.
It makes me skeevy.
But I said, you know, a couple of these clips, you hear it in our show open. I guarantee we've got plenty of new listeners since 2018. Oh, that's the origin of that clip. So here it is. Caller yodeling on the air.
Let's try Paul. You are next up here on Ben and Woods on the Mighty 1090. Paul, you ready for this?
Sure.
All right, let's play it one more time. Hank Williams, Lovesick Blues, as sung by Yodel Kid in Walmart. All right, Paul, you ready to go?
Sure.
Go for it.
All I do is see the lovesick blues. Young lady,
you did it, Paul. Congratulations. You've debased yourself on the radio for tickets to Magic Mountain.
Magic Mountain.
Yeah. Oh, that was Magic Mountain. Way better than Circus Vargas.
Magic Mountain.
A pretty good prize.
The kid did a good job. Jacob says, I love that song by Hank Williams. Me too. I think that's a great song. The kid, he did crush it. I don't know why he bothered me so much, but he did, man.
Now,
he drove me nuts. Also,
you
it was
had
like
an 8 week old.
I did.
Maybe you were just genuinely cranky.
Man, I just hated kids because that dude didn't sleep at all at that time, ever. Like, he didn't sleep a wink. He was like a vampire. And I was just grumpy all the time. Nothing much has changed. But I think my beef was with his parents. Like, Mason, get in the car. We're going down to Walmart. Well, you know, yes, you're going to yodel in here. What? Mama, why am I?
Got a good spot on aisle 17 for you.
Why am I yodeling at a Walmart? Just do it. Do it. He's in there dancing and doing his little.
Right.
It was unreal. Oh, man, that was great. And then when Paul, do you still listen to the program?
I'd love to hear from
you. I'd love to hear from you. But when Paul did the she do me, that was it. That was complete meltdown. I lost it at that point. That was great.
All right. Are we going chronologically?
Yeah,
here?
Let's move forward in time.
All right. So then this week in 2020, you guys had
a pandemic.
Pandemic.
Like
was
near the beginning.
About a month in. And you guys have probably been at the Corona Cave for a good 3 weeks now at this point.
It's freezing cold.
And this.
Always.
The title of this clip is simply Bird Flies Into Window at the Corona Cave.
Do you remember a guy named Dan Cortez?
What was that?
You guys okay,
it was a
everybody?
Bird that flew into the window and is now
dead. Perfect.
No, maybe it's just stunned.
Great.
Yeah, that's sad.
Well, that just
what?
Day.
No, it's getting up. It's getting up. It's just it's stunned.
Oh,
it's just
man.
A bit of a concussion.
You're
going into concussion protocol.
Oh my God! Just flew into
here.
The...
Just come on. Let's go, Birdie. You can do it. Come on, get up. There you go.
Even
come
look.
On. Okay, wing. The right wing may have an issue.
Play by play. I'm a dying bird.
No, it's okay. It's just this needs a second.
Go love on him a little bit.
No. Might carry the coronavirus or
fair
something.
Enough.
I'm just gonna stay inside.
That scared me to death.
Yeah, that was. Bit nervous. It doesn't happen usually in our Intercom Empire studios.
No, it doesn't.
Amazing.
Thump.
I mean, that was a loud thump. Do you have the isolated thump?
Whoa.
Of course he does.
Wonder where that bird is today.
I just want to know what we were talking about before that happened.
Who's Dan?
Remember a guy named Dan Cortez?
Dan Cortez.
MTV.
The MTV.
No.
He was also in Seinfeld. Remember Seinfeld, he was George's cool friend when George finally had a cool buddy and he would take him rock climbing. And Dan Cortez was a legend. He was incredible. I follow him on social media. He's doing great, by the way. Beautiful wife, beautiful family.
Good to hear.
Just, I would love to get him on, actually.
That's what I can do.
He's great.
Never know. All right, that was 2020. We go to 2021. Still got a couple more clips here. An infamous flub from Ben Higgins. We've kind of steered away from the flubs. The flubs of the week have kind of turned into things Ben likes, mm-hmm. maybe things Schilt likes.
I'd like to think that it's because I'm getting a little more rest nowadays, and I flub just a little bit less than I used to.
We have you flubbing pretty much every word in the human language.
Yeah, in the English language.
We don't really need anymore, but here's Ben Higgins here in Dallas.
A little police investigation here in Dallas. Cowboys.
Here in Dallas?
Here in Dallas, yeah. We're.
It's the confidence. Here in Dallas.
What?
What is happening? It's the confidence.
Here in Dallas.
I don't know where we are.
It was kills me. He said it so matter of fact.
A little police investigation here in Dallas.
Very, like, you could be on.
You know, I thought about that. And, you know, I was doing some news anchoring at the time, filling in at Channel 10.
Yes.
It's just kind of, you drop into news, when you read a police investigation here in Dallas.
So it's good.
Like, wait, we're not in Dallas.
No.
It's not here.
We're here
there.
It's one of my favorites.
There in Dallas.
Is that it?
More accurate than here.
We have
in
one
Dallas.
More clip.
Yeah, one more clip.
And this was from last year. I remember this one. So today is actually National Barbershop Quartet Day.
Oh my
Day.
God,
so
yes.
This is 1 year ago exactly. And I think in Foreplay, you had mentioned that it was Barbershop Quartet Day.
Yeah, we're missing out. Like, there's just no barbershop quartets
right.
anymore.
I didn't talk for about 25 minutes because I was absolutely locked in. I got an idea. All right, Ben had recently told us it was his life's mission to sing Blue Moon.
Yep.
So I took that, and I wanted to make a little barbershop quartet. How can we have a barbershop quartet? Like we said earlier, there's only three of us. But what if I had four different Ben Higgins singing Blue Moon?
Ooh.
And I put it all together.
Oh.
And
is there a barbershop quartet setting or something you slide the audio into? That's amazing.
Now, I think traditionally you want people with different vocal ranges.
I heard four different ones.
You want some variety in your quartet?
I heard loads of variety.
Dang, 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 ding, dong, ding, blue moon, blue moon, blue moon.
Oh, my God.
Blue moon, blue moon, blue moon. Dip, 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 blue moon, blue, blue moon.
There's your tenor.
I feel like with every barbershop quartet day, which I guess is April 11th, we put out the same request. If you are a San Diego barbershop quartet and would like to come and join us in studio, we would love to have you. We'll put you right here for the whole show. You can stand. You can sing all of our breaks.
I think they went away because they were having sex with too many women. I think when the barbershop quartets was like, this is getting ridiculous.
Right.
And we need to probably just call it a day.
Wear your little, your vests and your bow ties.
The whole
nine. And if you want to come and spend a morning with the Ben and Woods program.
We'd love to have you.
We would love to have you.
I need to start shuffling my seat. And whatnot?
Oh, because of the show that's coming up after ours.
Yeah, our roundtable. What are we going to cover today?
I feel like
this roundtable has already impacted our 9 o'clock hour enough.
I think it's going to for a while, at least once a week.
I'll tease a couple of the topics that I have in store for us
coming up
on the roundtable. We're going to discuss Jackson Merrill and his positioning in the lineup still.
Okay.
He's been moved up one spot by Mike Schilt in recent days, but how long before he needs to be moved up a little bit more in the lineup considering his production? Are you happy with him at the bottom of the lineup? I have a bullpen question that I think is interesting. We're going to discuss which non-Robert Suarez reliever do you trust the most right now to pitch a scoreless inning with a one-run lead? Like, which guy do you go to? Like, we got to get through this inning. Who's the guy in the bullpen that Mike Schilt should trust the most right now based on what you've seen through the first couple of weeks of the season? And for the first time ever, we will take a Padres psychological test with all six of you here in the studio today. And I will give you two different statements about the San Diego Padres, and you will tell me which one sounds more true to you, and we'll reveal your personality based on your answers to my questions coming up in our next hour on our roundtable.
I like where your head's at a lot. I want to ask Tony Gwynn Jr. about throwing at stars and if you knew, like, when people were throwing at your teammates and stuff. That's interesting to me as well. And also why maybe we never do it. And do you think that bugs Fernando Tatis Jr.? It would bother me.
It would bother you if you were Fernando Tatis Jr. or it would bother you if you were Tony Gwynn Jr.?
Fernando Tatis Jr.
That no one, you felt like you didn't get
the support,
backing and support you needed.
Yeah, I think it would.
Would it also be bad? Well, we'll discuss this on the round table. We'll discuss this on the round
table.
Got
an hour.
We've got a commercial-free hour coming up. So do not go anywhere. We've got to see the assembled crew will be joining us. We'll do the quick turnaround in the next few minutes. And the next time you see us all, we should have a big wide range of boxes on our YouTube screen. Can we do 6 boxes on the YouTube screen, Holly?
I think
sure
so.
Can. 6 full boxes, one for each of us for the next hour to discuss some Padres baseball on an off day. Get you ready for the series with the Dodgers that is coming up tomorrow. Another early season litmus test for your San Diego Padres. It's in the last few years when you go against the Dodgers, it felt like a lot of pressure. Now it feels like an opportunity almost to go up against the Dodgers for the next couple of days. So roundtable is coming up next, but that's it for Ben and Woods today. We've got Mike Shildt tomorrow on a Friar Friday, the manager's report at 9 a.m. Definitely be here for that. We also should have Jake from Cespedes Family Barbecue, correct, Pauly? Tomorrow as well.
One of them.
One of them at least. So, for executive producer, imaging director Paul Reindl, for Stephen Woods, I'm Ben Higgins. Don't go away. We'll be right back with our Padres Roundtable next here on 97.3 The Fan. So long.